We discussed by now about the fourth one here. Basically, that was the fourth one. What is Sahuli and Tawassuli? And we are done with that. And now we have the fifth one, the fifth classification of wajib, which is wajib asli and tab'i. So wajib is classified between asli and tab'i. Asli is the wajib which wajib asli. The wajib which is wajib by itself for the sake of itself, whereas wajib tab'i is a wajib which is wajib for the sake of another wajib. It is not wajib in itself, it is wajib for the sake of some other wajib. That kind of wajib we call it wajib tab'i. The examples, for instance, the prayers, is wajib asli. Fajr prayers, Dhuhr prayers, Asr prayers, it's wajib asli. It is wajib for itself. Whereas wajib tab'i, the example is like wudu. Wudu is not wajib in itself in Islam. Wudu is mustahab. But if wudu becomes wajib on us for the sake of another wajib, which is wajib asli, for example, the prayers. So wudu becomes wajib for the sake of the prayers. So by itself, wudu is not wajib in Islam. Wudu is something which is mustahab in the Sharia. So if you want to pray, let's suppose the time of Dhuhr arrives, now the Dhuhr prayers become wajib on me at the time of the Dhuhr prayers, and since I cannot pray my Dhuhr prayers or any other prayer without Taharat, without the Islamic definition of cleanliness and Taharat, whether I achieve this Taharat in the form of wudu or I achieve this Taharat in the form of ghusl, if applicable, or I achieve this Taharat in the form of tayammum, if applicable in my situation, whatever form of Taharat is applicable, usually it is wudu in our case. So wudu becomes wajib because taharat is a shart and condition for the correctness and sihat of the prayers. So when the time of prayer arrives, it becomes wajib on me to pray. Now for the sake of prayers, since I cannot do my prayers without the taharat, so I have to have wudu. So now the wudu is wajib for the sake of prayers. It's not wajib in itself. So that's why we call this kind of wajib as wajib tab'i. Is it clear? So wudu is wajib tab'i in Islam. It's not wajib asli. It's not wajib in itself. It is mustahab in itself. So although our scholars say that our urafa say actually that it's they always themselves have wudu all the time, and the teacher of Imam Khomeini, radhiyallahu anhu, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Shah Abadi, from whom Imam learned his knowledge of Irfan, and he used to respect him a lot, and never used to mention him. Even, when he used to take his name, he used to say Salamullahi alayhi, the end of his name. He used to respect him a great deal. So we find his teacher of Irfan, Ayatullah al-Uzma, Sheikh Shah Abadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, salamullahi alayhi. He has several books on Ilm al-Irfan, and in one of his books, he says that wudu is a shield from the deceptions of Satan. And we buy the arguments of the Urafa very highly and value them a lot, because again, they have already reached their destination, and then they are informing us. So somebody who reaches the peak of a mountain, the summit, and then he informs you, hey, beware of this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Because he has already gone through the whole path. and then reach the destination, and then he's informing you how to do and what to do and what not to do. So that's why we value their statements a lot. So blue is a shield from the deceptions of Satan. As long as a person continues to have blue, he will be protected from the deceptions of Satan. If you want to be protected, stay in blue all the time. It is mustahab. Again, it's not wajib, but it is mustahab. It becomes wajib for the sake of some other wajib, which is wajib asli. Like the example of Fajr prayers, wudu becomes wajib when the time of Fajr prayers enters and arrives. Otherwise, wudu itself is mustahab in Islam, but it becomes wajib taqi for the sake of another wajib asli. And then another category of wajib is varuri and nazari. So wajib is classified as it's either wajib-e-varuri or wajib-e-nazari. Self-evident is a wajib which is so evident and obvious that every Muslim being a Muslim by virtue of Islam knows that this thing is wajib in Islam. And it is self-evident. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that this is wajib in Islam. It's just because you're a Muslim, you can understand it. Just like prayers, five-time prayers is wajib in Islam. Even the non-Muslims know that every Muslim has to pray five times a day. Isn't that right? Even the non-Muslims know that. Because that's a zaruri wajib of Islam. It's a self-evident issue of Islam. Whereas how you have to pray, the details and the juz'iyat and the minor details of the prayers, all of those minor details is a nazari, those are nazari wajibat of Islam. Because those are not self-evident. You have to be a research scholar, an expert, and a mujtahid to extract those rulings from Quran and other sources. And you have to do the taqleed. If you're not an expert scholar yourself, you need to follow an expert research scholar in order to understand and to practice according to the teachings of Allah. So those minor details of the prayers are nazari wajibs of Islam, but the prayers, five times prayer itself, is the wujub-e namaz is a wajib, wajib-e zaruri and badihi of Islam. Wujub of hajj, another example of zaruri and badihi and self-evident wajib of Islam. Every Muslim, being a Muslim, knows that you have to go once in a lifetime. If you can afford it, you have to go for hajj. Even the non-believers know that Muslims go for pilgrimage to Mecca once in a lifetime. They know it. So, it's a self-evident wajib of Islam, wujub of hajj. Likewise, wujub of hijab. Every Muslim person knows, being a Muslim, it doesn't take a rocket science. You know that hijab is wajib on every baligh, you know, Islamically mature girl. And even the non-Muslims know that Muslim women have to do hijab because it is so self-evident. It's so clear in Islam. So that kind of ruling is called varuri and badihi and self-evident, and all the rest of the minor details and other rulings which are not that self-evident and that obvious, that those are classified. classified as nazari and ghair-e badihi, non-self-evident wajibs of Islam. And the practical difference between this classification of wajib is that any Muslim man or woman who denies one of the zaruri category of wajibs in the Sharia of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is a murtad and apostate, and his or her inheritance has to be distributed to the inheritors straight away. If tomorrow a Muslim person says there's nothing as prayers being wajib in Islam, this is all nonsense, and starts making fun and ridiculing the wujud of Salat, knowingly that the wujud of Salat, denying the wujud of Salat, is bound to take you to denial or inkar of Allah, and inkar and denial of the Messenger of Allah. Knowingly, if somebody does that, then this guy is no longer a Muslim, he is an apostate, and the wife has to get separated from him straight away without delay, and the inheritance will be distributed in the inheritors, because Islamically he is no longer alive. His spirituality is dead. So zaruri and badihi, likewise if a woman says, well, there's nothing as hijab in Islam being wajib, this is all nonsense, and starts to make fun of hijab, knowingly that this denial and inkar is bound to take us to denying Rasulullah, the Messenger, and denying Allah, the one who sent his Messenger with the message. It does take us to their denial, knowingly that this denial and inkar takes us to denying Allah or the Messenger. Knowingly, if somebody makes fun and denounces and denies the wujub itself of hijab, then he will be classified as an apostate in Islam. Whereas the denying the nazari wajibs of Islam doesn't make you a kafir, you know, because it's not self-evident issue. It's not evident. So that's the difference, practically, one of the differences, one of the major differences between zaruri and nazari wajibs of Islam.
Well, you, like I said earlier, you don't want to do the hijab, you don't want to pray, you don't want to go for hajj. This is a law, but at least you are a Muslim. You may be classified as a fasiq person, not an adil person. You know, if somebody who doesn't pray, of course, he's a fasiq. Somebody who doesn't do hijab intentionally, she is a fasiq. Somebody doesn't go for hajj, although it's wajib on him or her, he or she is a fasiq. But at least he or she is a Muslim. Because you're not denouncing the wajib, you're not denying the wujub of the wajib itself being compulsory in Islam, knowingly that
it equals to denying Allah and His Messenger. So basically, not doing it entitles you to be called a fasiq, but denouncing it knowingly that it leads to the inkar of the Prophet and Rasul will take you towards the limits of being an apostate and murtad. So zati and i'tibari, that's the next classification of wajib that we have. Wajib is classified as wajib-e-zati. And also wajib-e-i'tibari. Wajib-e-zati and wajib-e-i'tibari. Wajib-e-zati is that wajib which is wajib in itself. And our human intellect can understand and comprehend this wajib without believing in Allah, without believing in His message, without turning to the message of Allah. Our human intellect on its own can understand and comprehend this wajib. And wajib-e-i'tibari are all the rest of the wajibat of the Sharia are classified as wajibat-e-i'tibari. The examples, there is basically one example of wajib-e-zati, and that is husn al-adl.
adl and justice being a beautiful, appreciated thing in Islam, just like we have kufr of zulm, you know, oppression being evil. The kufr of zulm is also a zati ruling of the Sharia. So every human being, by virtue of his intellect, without even being a believer, without being a Muslim, without even believing in any of the prophets or messengers or books, by virtue of his own intellect, can understand that justice is good and would appreciate justice and would realize, is empowered to realize, as long as he is sane, is not mad or insane, is empowered to realize that zulm and oppression is qabih and condemned. So this is the zati ruling of Islam. We as human beings can understand with the power and the blessing of our aql, whereas the entire rest of the Sharia is classified to be wajib-e-itibari. So since Allah has considered these rulings to be mu'tabar and authentic and authentic and mu'tabar in our favor, so we have to accept that, we have to follow that, and we have to also consider those rulings to be mu'tabar and authentic in our favor. So that's why we call it requires i'tibar of shari', i'tibar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That it requires Allah considering this ruling to be this and this and this. Like Allah considering fajr prayers to be wajib, Allah considering fasting to be wajib, because Allah considered it according to His wisdom and absolute wisdom and knowledge. Allah considered the fajr to be, wajib in our favor. That's why it is wajib. So it requires a consideration from Allah for the fajr to become wajib on our neck. Whereas the adl is something that we can comprehend on our own. Even if we have no access to any messenger, even if we have no belief in any messenger, we can still discover that adl is something mustahsan and hasan and appreciated, and zulm is something mustaqbah and qabih and condemned. So that's why we call them ahkam-e-zatiyya, and we call the rest of the Sharia to be ahkam-e-etibariyya. Is it clear? Okay, let's move to the next slide. This one took a long time. Now we have some bonus gifts for the participants in this camp. Instant bonus gifts. If anyone of you have to raise your hand. No one can speak. If you speak, it's not accepted. There will be no gift. You have to raise your hand. If any one of you can answer to these questions, just raise your hand. I will ask one from the sister's side and one from the brother's side. These are the two questions that I have to all of you. The Sharia says that no mustahab salat, no mustahab prayers can be done with jama'at, that means in congregation, except one. There's only one mustahab prayers in the entire Sharia of Imam Sadiq al-Islam that you can do with jama'at, although it is mustahab, but you can still do in jama'at. And there's only every wajib salat, every wajib prayers can be done with the jama'at in the congregation, except one wajib prayers which you cannot do in jama'at. Which is that? So the first question, okay.
Namaz-e-istisqa
is the only good. That's very good, mashallah. Namaz-e-istisqa is the prayers that basically can be done. This is allowed in Islam to do that namaz. And here's your gift. Can you please come forward?
I also want to help you.
So now we have the second question. MashaAllah, the community, to those Maulana Abdul Islam Abdul Zameen here, those communities with access to highest scholars, their level of knowledge is also good.
So I would like one of the sisters to answer this question. If anyone knows the answer, what is the wajib prayers in the Sharia which can, or despite the fact that it's wajib, we can do all the wajib prayers in Jamaat, but there is one wajib prayer which cannot be done in Jamaat. Can you name that? Please raise your hand. Okay. Yes, please.
No, Namaz Ayat can be done in the, it's a wajib prayers and it can be done in Jamaat. So we have, now it's the turn of the brothers, if you can raise your hand. Which is the wajib prayers that cannot be done in Jamaat. Okay.
Ishaq prayers?
No. Okay, now it's the turn of the girls again. No, that can also be done in Jamaat. Okay, the turn of the boys.
Namaz al-Tawaf.
Namaz al-Tawaf is the wajib prayers. That, you know, in the time of Hajj, if it is wajib on you, you know, so you have to do the tawaf also, which is part of the Hajj, and then you have to pray two rakat prayers after the wajib tawaf, which is the two rakat prayers is also wajib, but that namaz tawaf is something which you cannot do in Jamaat, you have to do it alone. So, basically, yeah, there's your gift, please.
Salaam.
So, okay, this is very good. MashaAllah, we have knowledgeable people sitting in this community. Please read a salawat for those who replied positively.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Salawat for all the participants, mashallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
One salawat for Maulana, who has been basically providing all the great teachings of Ahlul Bayt to you and this community.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So now we have the shara'it of the sahhat of the salat, conditions for the validity of our prayers, and those are 14 conditions that we need to fulfill if we want our prayers to be done correctly. So please pay attention, we will have to go through a little bit quickly. I'll try.